hardest ways or the shortest way out of your trial. So I just want to read this familiar portion of Scripture. Just to exhort you for just a moment. Hallelujah. Stay there. If you want to read with me, it's in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to exhort you just for a minute. This prayer of Paul's, verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow the knees of my," I always say my heart, so I started to go there. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He, your Father, will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit." That's the one He put inside of you. In the inner man, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height, the breadth, the depth, the incomprehensible place of in the natural of His love." Because that's where it all ends at, right there, is His love. Everything in our Christian walk is taking us to a place. It's taking us to a place where we're formed into His image. And if He can take us glory after glory, what He's really working in us is that place where He gets the full image of Christ inside of us. That full image of Christ is it's a place that interprets itself out to the fullness of His love. Of course, you know this. There is no fear in what? In love. It's perfect love. So there is no fear. So after everything is said and done, the place that He's taking you to is where He's wanting you to go is to have a full development of His love. That's just not you learning to treat your neighbor right. That's truly, truly being baptized in a place. It said that He gets it over to you by the Spirit that He placed inside of you. That born-again nature that's on the inside of you is the only place that He has to work with. You can't discipline yourself into it. But I can tell you this, it is the answer. It is the answer for everything. Because in this prayer, he was praying. He was praying, Lord, that the church, everybody that would read this would come to a place where they'd truly be able to comprehend what His love was about, who His love was. That was the express image of His Son. Now, He said that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with what? The fullness of God. There's no way for me to get this over to you enough. The last of everything, I mean, no matter how far we go, everything that we do, every avenue that we could exercise, in the end, what He's wanting is to get you in this fullness. Why? Because if you come to this place where His love is able to take you to the next step, you'll have the fullness of God. I want to remind you, Pastor Dave saw, when he was here, he told us about it. He saw in a vision, this is the way the Lord got it over to him. He saw the new man, which was the new nature, created. And he said he saw chromosomes in that new nature. Now, this is how the Holy Spirit got it over to him in a vision. He saw what made up that new nature. And part of that chromosome of the new nature was God's agape. But when it entered you, when you became born again, it was passed from God to you. And so the Lord showed him, which is backed up by the Word, this love actually became your love. You became the, it became part of you. It's not just God's love to you. It actually became innate, existent within your born-again human spirit. But it had the capacity, amazing enough, it wasn't just that just once you received it, that you've received its fullness. You had the ability to steward it, the stewardship of that love, and you could grow it up. It could go from here, basically, to here, to here, to here, or you could have the, you could be the example that he was given, fully grown up in that love. Well, I'm convinced that most of the church, the full express image, I mean, eyeball to eyeball with Jesus in that love, is revival. That's where kids get out of wheelchairs. That's where kids that are born with abnormalities are, they're rescued. I'm sure of that. But it's very, very few people that come to the fullness of that love. And it's really wrapped up in that fullness, because in that, it says right here in my Bible, and I hope you're reading in verse 19, it says, if you come to that, to the comprehension of that love, you come to the fullness of God. Everything that He is. Well, He's healing. He's deliverance. He's without fear. He's everything. So it really goes into, it really comes down to being filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask. Ask what about asking Him for this love? Let me read this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask for this love, because He's still talking about it, or think about this love, according to the power that worketh in us. What He's saying there is this: before you get there, you don't know how to even ask for it. Do you remember a few weeks ago when Homer ministered on a Sunday morning about, it was out of the book of James, and he brought forth that scripture where it says, you have not because you ask not. And then you ask and you have not because you ask amiss. And he brought that forth, was like, okay, the Lord was saying you don't have because you're asking, but then when you ask, you don't get because you ask amiss. And the way He brought that out was excellent. It was through the wisdom of God, when He was talking about, really, because that person that was asking didn't have the capacity to walk in what they were asking God for, it was as if they didn't ask at all. I mean, it was an excellent revelation from God. So this is what He's saying here when He says He'll give you the capacity to begin to ask for it. You see, you can ask. You could say, God, give me the fullness of your love. But your spirit doesn't even have the capacity, except His revelation give you the capacity to fully ask in faith. Because just your words, or just even your want to, doesn't get you there. And just like Homer was saying, the man that was asking in James, it was as if he wasn't asking, because he wasn't walking in the wisdom that God was giving him to be exalted out of his test. And so since he wasn't walking in that capacity, when he did ask, it was amiss. It was amiss, meaning it was as if he didn't even ask. Many people ask for the love of God and never get it. Why? Because it's not even comprehensible to them what they're asking for. But He said He can get that over to you, what you're really asking. In other words, He'll coin it. He will coin it in your spirit so that there's a realistic faith that asks for what you're petitioning Him for. And He does it by the power that's working in you. And I used to think that that was talking about love, and it is per se, but this is an exact an exact replica of Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, only that power, only that dunamis power, by praying in other tongues, as you pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit comes to you. He works this work inside of you. In other words, you can't even get there unless He teaches you how to ask for it. But by praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit, by that power that is at work in you, He can give you the capacity to ask for something that won't be amiss in you. Because otherwise you can just ask, give me more love, give me more love, give me more love. And really be kind of sincere about it, but it'll be just arrows going this way and that way until He begins to coin inside of you. What am I really asking for? What does this mean? What does this change inside of me? How does it really? And as only the Holy Spirit can do, once He begins to give you that capacity to show you, and we only get it in bits and pieces. The last time I was with Dave, and when he was here, one of those asking fors came to him in a vision, and he said, this is how I describe it. He said, I wasn't going to the hospital to pray for kids. You know, that's the reason why I'm just like Dave. I hate to go to the hospital because most of the time people don't get up when I leave. Up to this point, I would love to go to hospitals. It'd be the greatest joy of our life if you went to hospitals and you could bring them home with you every time. That'd be fun. I mean, just real fun. But he said, I wasn't going to pray for somebody, like go in and do your pastoral duty and then leave. You know what? I am so tired. I bet you are too. I'm not speaking as a voice way above you. I am tired of doing things in a certain sense as a curtsy, or as that's the thing to do. As there's another word for it. I'll catch it in a moment, perhaps. But just go through the motions, because that's the Christian thing to do. The motions that I want is to literally go there and raise them up. Amen. I'm sick of the rest. I'm sick and tired of the rest. And I don't know how to even get there. I've been asking for it. But unless this comforter comes and gives me the capacity to ask beyond my asking, I'm asking always amiss. But He gives me the power to bring about an asking which is of faith, because He's praying for me and He works a work. Listen, can I go back to Sunday morning? The Holy Spirit said, and I did not do that. I did not do that. I did not come in here and say, I want to remind the people through prophecy. But He went back and He said, I've called you as a house of prayer. Don't stop praying. We've taught from the very beginning. Our beginning foundation was pray. Set aside time to pray. Find that hour in your day, or find that time in your day. Listen, folks, I remind you again, and I'm telling you, all of us are under an attack. If you go to this church and you're not under attack, you're not doing the message. You're just not. You're sandbagging us. If there's not attacks in your life, you're on His side. That's just plain and simple. But there is joy in the midst of it. But I can tell you this. I'm just going to remind you again, real practical. You know this. But I think as long as I live in this body, I'm supposed to remind you of this. You have to contemplate prayer. Some of you are living the busiest part of your existence. And I just applaud you for whatever you get in. And I am so blessed to do what I do, to be able to spend my life in prayer. And while I'm spending my life in prayer, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you're able to come in to whatever He's asking you to do. But listen, if you don't contemplate we just do it all the time. We contemplate our work. We contemplate our work week. We contemplate, okay, Tuesday I'm going to do this, and Tuesday I'm not talking about prayer. We just start thinking about if I'm going to meet that person, then I got to do the wash now, or I got to pay it forward. I got to do this. I got to do that. If I'm going to meet them on Thursday, then we've got to get such and such. Listen, you've got to impute prayer in that somewhere. Because if you don't, it will escape you. You've got to schedule it just like anything else. And if that's 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, but it has to be something, even if you have to write it down. And if it gets knocked off, don't condemn yourself, but get determined. I like schedule. I like things on a schedule. I like to do it at the same time every day. But sometimes that's not realistic. You can't do that. Sometimes you may go for a week or two where it's not the same time. Get it done somehow. Spend that time. Because I'm going to tell you this. You're never going to be able to, he's never going to be able to get over to you the best. You're going to go to heaven and you're going to enjoy. I mean, God's going to be with you. But listen, this is what we're after. We're still after trying to get little kids out of wheelchairs. And this won't happen unless, as the Holy Spirit said Sunday, we've got to pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be nice. Started to be a little sarcastic. I started to say, I don't care who says that it's the same. But I didn't say that, did I? I only thought it. Windshield time is not the same. It will help, and it can be a blessing. But at some point, you got to, don't, for God's sake, don't get mad at me and just say, well, if windshield time is not the same, I'm not going to do anything. Then you'll backslide. But there's got to be a couple days a week or two or three days a week that you find that place of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, the shortest way out of your trial, that's what I was starting to say, is this. 2 Corinthians 4. We went over that. Romans 8. Where he said, troubled on every side, but not in distress. Perplexed. You know what perplexed means in the Greek? It means I've got 10 different choices. I don't even know how this thing in the natural is going to end. How many have ever been up or still up and it seems like you continue up against things where you just say, I'm not sure what I'm going to do in this thing. Don't feel left alone. Paul said, perplexed. If you look it up in the Greek, it means having many choices. It's like, I'm not sure how this thing's going to work out. I do know this. When it's all settled, it's going to be fine. Jesus is going to be at the end of all this. Hallelujah. Perplexed, but not in despair. Despair means confused. A lot of times you'll think, I mean, if you walk up to me and ask me about certain things at certain times, I'll say, I really don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm not sure. But I do know he's going to work it out. He said that there'd be times where we'd be persecuted, but we would not be forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always, and this is the shortcut, same as in Romans 8, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ may be manifest in our mortal body. That dying of the Lord Jesus was an assimilation of like, I'm going to bear hug Jesus. He is my prototype. Wonderful teaching on Sunday night by Homer, the prototype. He is my prototype. He died a death. Hebrews says the Son learned obedience by the things that he suffered, that he may become the author of eternal life. My Savior became seated at the right hand of the Father because he learned. It didn't say that he just obedient. It said he learned. You know what learning obedience means? It means he made a continual, deliberate choice on a daily basis to be obedient to the Father. And I don't know how hard that was for him at times. I'm sure the enemy pushed that. But for us, that obedience means dying to self. But guess what? What comes out of that as a result of it is the life of God. In other words, joy unspeakable, peace, even in the midst of hell and hellation, peace comes. Romans 8 says this. He said at the end of that where we love, 26, praying in tongues, and he makes intercession according to the will of God. And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who is he that condemns? It's God that justifies. Even Christ that died for us. What what shall separate us from the love of God? Is it tribulation, persecution, peril, nakedness, the sword? Nay, I am persuaded that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ. But he says this, we count ourselves, as it is written, as sheep for the slaughter. It goes right back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where he says this. This is the correlation. This is the quickest path out of whatever you're going through. Stand firm, quote the word, but also learn that daily place. Paul said this, I die daily. I die daily. Two places in the word he talks about. There is something spiritual about keeping your prayer life up on a daily basis. Because if you do, it makes it easier for you to die daily. And easier to die continually. The shortcut, if there is any shortcuts, is continually yielding yourself over. And I'm here to remind you, pray as often as you can. Don't let the devil condemn you when you don't pray. Okay? Because that's a trick too. But stay in prayer. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we're closing up like we are, I just made a couple notes. And I want to remember those. Hallelujah. How many this is just a question. Man, I bet you're getting tired. I forgot about you. You're okay? You're just soothing, you know? Wow, it's great. Hallelujah. That anointing's already on him, isn't it? It was before we prophesied, and it's increased since. This is, you know, God has been speaking so much lately. And it's been just not intentional on my part, but it's just really strong stuff. And we need to appreciate, whether it's me or whoever is speaking the words of prophecy. I'll tell you one thing about prophecy. It's the life of a church. If a church is not hearing prophecy, that's the present day speaking of the Lord. There's a death there. Now, they may be a word church, and I believe in the word, and I believe they can get things done just on the basis of the word. But it's the word and the spirit together. They're one. And the prophecy is like that continual place. I don't get like worried, but if Candy tells me, man, we didn't have any prophecies last month, and that's very rare, I'm like, okay. I don't even know if she's ever said there's not been any. She might say there's been two or three. I like it when there's 10, 15, 20. Because that's the present day speaking of the Lord. That's the river that keeps washing over us and washing over us. But do you know that we can miss all that? If we just, you can't, I can't, none of us can hear it one time and get it. We can't. And so I am asking you to help me, to us all, to appreciate these with the very best of our ability. God Almighty, not me, but God Almighty, if I ever say anything that you do not believe is from God, please come to me privately. We will not be in a debate, but I will sit down with you and I will try to reconcile from the Word of God. But to this point in time, I believe the words that we have been hearing is straight from the Father. Straight from the Father. And I believe they can be backed up by the Word of God. I say all that to say this. It's vitally important that we hear it and hear it again. How many, and Candy is already busy, but I'll tell you what. I appreciate, she's going to say, why'd you do that? I appreciate my wife and what she's doing more than anything else in the world. And I know you do too. Hallelujah. A couple of years ago, next month, she took on a job and she took it on. And I didn't ask her. She just chose to. And she's like those people that Moses had that were skilled of the Lord. Something dropped on her, a grace from heaven. And I never asked my wife, because I'm the pastor. Quick footnote for all of you people that are in ministry. Just because you're called, do not demand that your spouse do anything other than what they want to do. They are your children. Your spouse are all their own person. Once you be, that's why there's so many renegade children in the ministry. Their fathers were putting pressure on, you're going to do this, and you're going to put up a front, you're going to make me respected in the church. Let them be kids. Let you, if Candy said, I love you and I'll just serve God, but I don't want nothing to do with ministry, that would be perfect with me. But I appreciate the skill that's come on her, and I know that you do, and you said so. Thank you. If you have, this is going to be a quick survey. I want to pose it in such a way that I don't get myself in trouble later. But if you would, if it would make it easier for you during your week to listen to the service again, and let's say you may have a smartphone or you may even know how to go online. I was going to do this for you. It's really, and I'm going to give this example and still ask this question. The one thing is this. If you do have a smartphone, please put a Family Prayer Center app on there so you don't have to fish for stuff. Just put a Family Prayer Center app on there. Hit the app. I just come up. I spread the screen. Go to messages. I'm going to go to youth. Wow, it comes up with this guy named Homer Betancourt. Last message, 3:17:13. Oh, I got to hit the MP3 part. Jesus is the perfect prototype. And I don't even have a... should start streaming. It's already up. So I was going to show you. I was getting in 30 seconds of the house a minute ago. See if you can hit that. I probably didn't hit the... I have to push what? See? You just have to push play. It's just slow. Yeah, here you go. I can't stand it. I can't stand Smart Alex. She said you just have to push play. So he's... Oh, I know what it was. I thought I had my turn. Make it louder. But listen, it's 30 seconds, and you can be listening if you have a Family Prayer Center app. You can be listening to anything Homer does. It's up in about 2 days, anything I do. But if your life, and I mean this sincerely, if your life is like, it would really make it easier for me. I don't have time. I can see where this would be applicable if, like, say, for instance, you really the best time for you is riding down the road, listening, you know, in between appointments. I got 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. I drive to work, whatever. And I don't have time, Pastor, to sit down at a computer. If I do have time to pray, I'm going to pray. I don't have time to even listen to it on my, you know, smartphone or whatever. Making a CD for me would really help for me to just, that would save me time, and I would listen to these services more. I'd do it more than what I'm listening to it now. If that's you, how many would appreciate getting a CD? Okay, that's a good number, 5, 6. Okay, all right. Well, that gives us something to work with, and we just wanted to make sure, because listening. That was some of the greatest teaching.
A bunch of people that are here,
you hear this guy's voice?
Purposes.
But it's really loud when you're sitting by yourself. Okay. You guys want to hear his sermon, don't you? That's Homer on Sunday night, the prototype, Jesus being the perfect prototype. So, okay, let me see your hands again. And don't be bashful. I mean, if you want to listen to it, you know, and we can, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, 6. Okay, that's great. I mean, even if you know how to do a cell phone or what? Yes, sir. And if you need to know how to put your app on there, see Candy right after service, okay? It's really fast. Honestly, I am getting pretty good, but I can show you by example that I'm not there yet, right? Okay. Friday night, what we're going to do is, and I haven't talked to Gabe, but she's always in agreement. I really think we should take, if you were here Sunday, the Lord just spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. I'm going to ask you to come in here Friday night, if you come on the Friday night services, and just bring a yellow pad or something, and just we're going to play that service again. And I want you to take notes concerning what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally. And if you can't be here Friday night, what this is all leading to, we're going to tell you in the next couple of services how we're going to get those to you, whether that's going to be, we don't know if we're going to put a sign-up sheet or we're going to let Candy have the sign-up sheet and just let you be on a revolving basis. Because if we put a sign-up sheet back there, a lot of people are going to sign up that never will, they'll just have us making them, and they're just thrown in the closet. And that's not so bad. The cost is not, that's not the issue. It's just the time and the energy to make those things. So, but we will work towards getting you those. And you need Sunday morning. If you heard Sunday morning, you need to hear it again. Amen. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Come in here Friday night. We still may have a portion of that, of the calling and the lost, or do that. I'm not sure. But we're going to listen to those just as an answer of yes, Lord. We want to appreciate these prophecies like never before. Praise God. 8:40, we're doing good. So, how many would like to bless tonight before you leave here? Amen. And Renee, if you would, please. I'm going to pray, and we're just going to let you bless, and then share. You know, just hang around for a few minutes, give somebody a big hug, because we didn't do that at any portion of the service. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. And all the ones that weren't, we love them just as much. We ask you to speak to their hearts, our hearts. Lord, we thank you that Immokalee is saved, that we have all the monies that we need for this revival. I thank you, Father, that the camera equipment is here, paid for. I thank you that the mortgage is paid for. I thank you, Father, that all that we have need of in the days ahead will be brought forth in abundance, and we bless you. We thank you for endowments. Father, we thank you that men and women across this nation, around the world, locally, Father, will come into blessings where that it's not coming in just in bits and pieces, but, Lord, that we find that way out in front of us, we're able to make plans and see the future. We bless you. We commit these things to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you tonight. And this is available for you to bring forward. Amen. Robert, wonderful job.